I honestly think Pep needs to change a little bit of tact. You haven't got Rodri, you have to stop playing through the middle as much, because teams are pressing you to death and they're giving up way too many chances.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition, there's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.
Where we're talking about the Republic of Ireland women's national team. Cathy McNamee is with us. Hopefully the game will be slightly better than Friday's game.
Yeah, it was a tough watch. Scarlett turned to me, Scarlett Heron, who was on co-coms at one stage during the second half, and she was like, the most interesting thing that's happened in this half is that there were substitutions, and that's purely the fact they happened, not who was actually brought on the pitch, which I felt was a very damning indictment of what that game was. Yeah, I was listening to Julianne Russell last night talking about it on the evening show, and she was saying, like, she blamed the pitch for quite a lot of it, and that the how slow the ball was, which you could definitely tell the pitch was quite affected, and we even saw that at the weekend with the game being called off because of the rain. She was kind of implying that the new way that Carla wanted to play, which was a little bit through more through the midfield, which is something we've been calling for a long time, is something that didn't do very well for us against Wales, that was kind of one of the reasons why it dragged so much. I'm not entirely sure if I agree with that. I think the team is just missing a bit of a spark at the moment. And maybe that comes with time. Carla Ward has only had 2 training sessions with the team, and it's going to take a while to maybe build some of those younger players. But I'm just thinking of like this time last year when Julianne herself came in, started scoring goals. There was an excitement, and I just
didn't. We were all going to the Euros at that stage, and it was going to be a revolution. And the Euros on our doorstep and in our time zone, and
yeah.
And at the moment, obviously, there's just a hangover from that.
I think
they keep
getting
asked about.
Yeah, and they. But this is the thing: when you talk to them, like I was out in Abbottstown, maybe like 4 out of 5 days last week before the game, and you didn't get the sense of that hangover from the players. You know, it did really feel like this is a new era. We're feeling inspired. We're excited about Carla. We're excited about Al Mahan coming in. Things are going to change. But what concerns me is, and I think we talked about this a little bit after the World Cup, was the generation of players that are there. Maybe that was our golden generation. We got them at their peak. And now we don't have that.
Yeah.
Unless a Jessu comes back and manages to stay fit and hopefully doesn't do another ACL. Like, she's the sort of player that I think could spark that life into us. She's just been incredibly unfortunate. Leanne Kiernan, also another player who I think could spark that in us. She was on such a good run of scoring for Liverpool, but again, got injured right before a crucial time in an international window. So
it is a conundrum from the attacking prospects, because Carla Ward was asked about it afterwards and said in terms of Katie McCabe's positioning, and she said, oh, of course we'd love to bring her forward up the pitch, but it's how to make that work. And it feels to me it's put her into a false nine position, but then you have to cover for on the left side of the fence, and that is a consistent problem for this Irish team.
Yeah, it totally is. And I don't think we're ever going to find a solution to it, if I'm perfectly honest, unless some absolute wonder kid comes through in the next couple of years. And I don't know if that is going to be the case, just from having watched bits and pieces of the underage teams. There's definitely some good talents in there, but I don't know if we have that generational player that's going to let us play Katie McCabe the way we want to play her, unless it's against a team much lower than us. But even at that, you would have said that Turkey game should have really been the sort of game that you could do that, because they're like 60 odd position, we're 25th, you know. But again, what actually I found watching the game on Friday was how much it reminded me of that Wales qualifying games, and specifically the second one in the Aviva, in a different way, in that we actually had way more chances against Wales. We just didn't convert any of them. But that sort of low block that we just cannot seem to get past at all. The way I described it on Friday, which was like a bit clunky, but was literally that we just cannot deal whenever defenders set up against us and they're just stood in front of us. And it's just wave after wave. We don't know how to get in behind. And we did it a little bit last year when we had Julianne, because she had that pace. And then she had Carusa playing off her, who had really good hold-up play. So there was a good combination there. But Caruso doesn't have that now with the ones that are playing up forward. You know, you look, it was mainly Lucy Quinn that was helping her out. She just doesn't have that really explosive pace that Julianne did, but she does have good hold-up play. Leanne probably has that explosive pace, which is what we saw the Caruso-Leanne dynamic working quite well whenever they got the opportunity to play together. So it's just, it's getting that kind of mixture right up front, I think, is going to be really crucial for us.
Definitely. Like, I do wonder how Carla Ward is going to approach Slovenia this evening. Slovenia beat Greece on Friday night 2-1.
Yeah,
they came from behind. Because Turkey set up in a simple 4-4-2 and they went player for player.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even a sophisticated system that Ireland couldn't get by. And it actually reminded me of the Arsenal men's team and their inability to get past opposition that they really, really should.
Mm.
And I don't know if it hardly requires another formation change, because Carla Ward reverted to a back four. This was something quite novel to this Irish side, but it didn't seem to make an awful lot of difference.
Yeah, when that team sheet came through, me and Scarlett were scratching our heads a little bit as to what she was actually going to do, because it was quite, there were some big decisions in it. Formation, as you mentioned, the fact Caitlin Hayes wasn't on the pitch and she's basically
What happened there? She just left out?
Just a tactical decision. Because she played for the final 10 minutes. No, it wasn't actually the final 10 minutes. She was going to come on and then she started warming up again and then she came on about 3-4 minutes later. But she didn't have a great game for Brighton at the weekend and she's found adjusting to the WSL a little difficult. Brighton are also not in a great place at the moment. They had a really good start to the season and have kind of dropped off a little bit post-Christmas. So there is that she's going into that setup in general. But she trained with the team. You know, RTE had it that five players didn't train on Sunday, but yep. I asked the FAI about that and they said it was just like load balancing for them. So it wasn't anything serious and that everyone trained yesterday. So it seems that there's a few players that they said they're still assessing. I know Megan Campbell came off and she had a bit of a niggle.
She played centre half, right?
Yeah. I thought she was brilliant. And like, I chatted to her after the game and I said to her, I can't remember the last time you played that long in a game. And she was like, to be honest, I can't really either. And she said she reckoned it was probably do you remember the behind closed doors game against China that was in Marbella?
Yeah.
And they played, that was probably the last one. And that was, I remember that game because I was over in Marbella for it. They played Germany behind closed doors and they played China behind closed doors. Which is mental to think that was before the World Cup. And she
that
obviously
was on TV,
still
wasn't
has
it? It was the midweek game, yeah.
It was the one with the really, really bad angles. Like the camera didn't actually really move past the centre of the pitch. So whenever it got to the edges, you couldn't really see all that much.
Pure vibes, yeah. It's a funny one with, like, it goes to show sometimes you're better off to be unattached and not playing well with your club, because Caitlin Hayes is on the bench, but Rucha Littlejohn plays and she's out saying, beggars can't be choosers, I need a club.
I know, but this is the funny thing about Rucha. We've been saying this about her for so long. You know, during the World Cup, she was one of our best players. During those Wales qualifying games, one of our best players for large swathes of it. Whatever happened at London City, it's not beneficial to her, obviously, but also her not playing a lot of game time at club level doesn't really seem to affect her, what she does on the pitch. I know Carla said whenever she announced the squad that there was two players that are going to announce for championship clubs and one for an international club in the next couple of weeks, and there's three unattached players, and that's Maloney, Rucha and Marissa Shiva. So you'd assume Shiva's going to go to the NWSL and the other two are going to go to championship clubs, potentially just waiting until the international window is over to actually announce it,
right?
Because Carla didn't seem worried about them not playing.
Ireland had five shots in the first half against Turkey, zero in the second. And Turkey nearly scored twice. Campbell heads off the line and then the 92nd minute, their number nine has a shot that just goes wide. And so Irish fans might be forgiven. There's 8,000 in attendance for skimming through the match programme in the second half and seeing pictures of Colin Healy and a delayed tribute to him. And reportedly, as reported this morning, that his camp aren't too happy with it. It's a bit too little, too late. What's your opinion on the situation now? Are you sick of it?
I think McCabe kind of put a good bow on it from the team perspective whenever she spoke before the game on Thursday. And I know we talked a little bit about it on Friday. in that she made her feelings very clear. I know Denise was asked about it again after the game on Friday, and she just reiterated her support for Colin, but that she felt that from their side of things, they had done all that they could to get through the situation. So I think for now, it's just seeing what the FAI actually come out with in terms of whatever statement they make or whatever investigation they do. But I just don't really see a way out of it for them. I think, you know, what McCabe said, the way that she described the review process that didn't seem to actually talk to any of the players, the fact that they couldn't make the time to speak to her because she was away in camp with Arsenal in Norway, the fact that she feels that they didn't treat one of the managers correctly, and that's a widespread feeling throughout the squad. It's going to be very hard for them to say that processes were completely followed, I suppose.
So not to ask a potentially naive question, but do players need to be involved in a review process?
I think if your work, like, I think you take their opinion, but you don't take it as gospel. I think if you're deciding what the future for a manager is and you're doing a review process, well, like, who else are you going to ask? If you're doing a review process that the FAI said they're going
to
do.
Well, you'd like to think that they have people in place to make those decisions for a minute.
But say, like, you're reflecting on the campaign, you're looking at it. And I know this has been a whole thing around this team, that they have too much power and that, you know, they control who the manager is. I don't think that's what they were saying. I think it was more that if you're going to review the season that we've just had or the qualifying campaign that we've just had... And you're deciding whether someone's job is on the line or not, and you are doing a review. You talk to the managers that were there, how they feel. Do they think that they can take the team any further? Or are they like, look, that was traumatic emotionally. I want out. I want a new job. You know, that could also be a position. I don't think you talk to every player. I think you probably talk to the captain or the senior leadership group within it. And then you have your people who can take all that information and make an unbiased outside opinion. And I think once you can give a clear rationale, it's fine. And I think the thing with this situation isn't so much the fact that they came to this decision. I think it's the way they went about it. I think it's the fact that Colin believed that he would have the opportunity to stay on within the FAI. We still haven't heard from Eileen Gleeson, but still don't actually know what her role is within the FAI. But I think... if that whole situation had been handled properly, and if they got on to Colin, look, we've made a decision, we've done the review, you're not staying on, you're a very respected coach in Irish football, we hope to work with you again, thanks, goodbye, it probably all would have been less damaging than what actually happened.
How damaging is it really, though? We've got a better management team now than we had previously, haven't we?
Well, that's the thing, but it's also still been a distraction and something stupid that we shouldn't have to talk about again. You know, I've said this every time that I've talked about it. I've said I don't think we've actually ended up in the worst situation at all.
So how much of a distraction is it ultimately?
Well, if you're being asked about it constantly, I think...
Is that not going to finish now? Like, there were no games. The first time there was a game, they got asked about it before and after.
Yeah.
And so do you expect it to come up in the... In the pre-match, it's not going to come up pre-match today. It'll come up in post-match tonight after Slovenia.
It depends on who is put up for media. Like, as in, part of the reason Katie was asked about it last week is that she wasn't available before that when everything happened.
So now they've asked Captain as well. They've asked Denise O'Sullivan. She said what she said twice.
Yeah.
Are we really going to ask her again? What about?
I suppose it depends on what happens between the FAI and between Colin. If there's some sort of announcement between now and the next camp, then
yeah, the Greece doubleheader, isn't it? In April, maybe.
Something but they potentially will be asked. Are you happy with how everything ended up, or whatever it is?
Yeah, but even if they're not, ultimately, what impact does that have? Their players are unhappy about a former colleague and how he was treated. Fair enough, but it's their job to perform on the pitch, and that's not an excuse for them not to perform well.
Oh no, it's not an excuse at all, and I don't think. Like, I'm not offering it up as an excuse either. Whenever we were doing the comms on Friday, I was quite harsh. And like in the post-match reaction as well with Scarlett, we were quite harsh on the team and their performance. I think it wasn't up to scratch and it was totally below par. I think this stuff is a distraction, but I don't think it's
the reason
why they're not performing on the pitch. Like, I've already said that I think the reason why they're not performing on the pitch is because this team isn't good enough at the moment and is at a stage where they don't have...
Yeah, so I don't mean to labour the point. It just feels like it's not really a distraction. It's just something for us to talk about. And like, Carla Ward should not have been foisted anybody, and she wasn't ultimately.
Mm.
She, when she was coming in, it was always going to be her choice to bring in whatever coaching ticket she wanted. And that's kind of how it works in football. Like, should they have found another job for Colin Healy within the FAI? Probably. Like, and so again, I would say this is bad HR. But I don't see it as a distraction to the team, or maybe it's a distraction to the media covering the story. But I don't see how it actually has any material impact now beyond it having an impact on Colin Healy, obviously, who you kind of need to keep at the centre of the story. And his future relationship with the FAI hierarchy. And maybe it brings down somebody in the FAI. But I suspect it probably won't, because ultimately they'll go, do we have a better coaching ticket than we had previously? The general consensus is yes. Is that not what happens here?
Yeah, I think so. But I think if you, anytime there's any sort of, I don't want to call it a scandal, but like something that is an outside influence, we always hear that players, in the moment, players are like, no, it didn't distract me. And then after the fact, they are like, yeah, okay, maybe it did distract me a little bit in terms of, like, what are the teams sitting around talking about or whatever it is. I'm not saying that it is the absolute reason why things are going wrong. I'm just saying that this is another camp that we've come into, and there is something else outside that is within the control of the FAI. This more so than other things, but still within the control of the FAI, that the players are having to talk about and answer questions about and come out publicly on social media about. And I hate the fact that they keep being put in that situation, because you want their sole focus to be the football and not having to answer these questions and not having to, you know, even think about what's going on within the organisation and, as you say, the HR issues.
On tonight's game, the Slovenian manager Sasa Coleman has history in Ireland. His coaching badges inspired by Donegal's own current manager Jim McGuinness.
Is there any coach in the world that Jim McGuinness hasn't had some sort of influence over? I thought that was an absolutely mad story. Whatever.
So this is back when McGuinness was involved in soccer.
Yeah,
this was between the two Donegal stints, obviously.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting one. It's an RTE. Tony is one of the few Irish media that's actually travelled over to Koper for this game.
Right.
And he is really, Coleman, who is the Slovenian coach, is really good friends with Niall O'Regan, who head of coach education with the FAI. And I did find this one a little bit interesting when he said in the quotes that, you know, Slovenia see Ireland as one of like the great coaching setups in Europe. And I was like, is that true? And then I was thinking about some of the managers that have come out of the country, and okay, and maybe not all of them have plied their trade through the FAI, but there has been some impressive coaches out of the country. So maybe he's not totally wrong. I just was a little bit skeptical about that one. But came over here.
Yep.
Got taught by Rude Doctor as well, who was part of that. So we have a little bit of a connection. Maybe that'll help them tonight in terms of how the Irish play.
But you're right. I was equally amazed that Jim McGuinness has his impact on everybody around the world, including the Slovenian.
Yeah, it was when he went to
brigade.
Celtic, wasn't it? He went to the Celtic Academy, and he.
These are Coleman's quotes carried this week by RT. When I was there for 10 days, I ran into Jim McGuinness. We sat down, we discussed a couple of things, and after 1 hour of talking to Jim, I felt like I could conquer the world.
I mean, the
Jim McGuinness impact.
I hope Jim hasn't been calling him ahead of this game, giving him anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Although after the weekend, I think Jim has his own problems to be worried about.
Well, speaking of own problems, you, me and Shane, we did Who You Got on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the games we had was Arsenal versus West Ham United in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And I think everyone was pretty much an Arsenal win, but we were talking about the paucity of Arsenal's attacking options. And we had said, Kathleen, like, this is the best unbeaten run that Arsenal have had since the 2010-11 season of the Premier League. And yet, the first home defeat of the season, and yet that happens at the weekend. Can you explain it to us? Justify your team.
I would love to. I won't lie. I didn't actually watch this game live because it was my uncle's 60th at the weekend.
Happy birthday.
Shane McNamee. And we watched the rugby, and then I realised that the Arsenal game had started, and I was like, do you know what? I can't take any more emotional drama today. That was enough for me. But just from watching back the highlights, I don't know. It just feels like it keeps coming to this stage of the season. And like Liverpool have had their moments as of late where it's open like a chink of a door that a little bit of light is coming through.
The two draws recently, Newcastle and Everton.
That you're like, okay, there's maybe a chance here that Arsenal can do something. And whenever that happens, especially at this stage of the season, it's just like there's a metal shutter that goes down and they have these incredibly disappointing results. Yes, they don't have the attacking thrash that was well established on Friday, but I also don't know that having Havertz in there would have made a massive difference. I think I stand by that.
But having Mikel Merino up front makes a difference, defensive midfielder.
Yeah. They're really hard for me to actually, I feel like they're like a clothesline in the wind, and I'm trying to grab a hold into like what they're trying to do and what they're trying to be as a team. And I just feel like they can't define themselves and they can't define who they are without very certain players. And that has always been an issue for Arteta over the years. And I just don't understand why at this stage, with all the time that he has had, that there isn't more depth in that squad, there isn't more options, that there isn't that absolute desperation whenever a January transfer window comes around to just get a striker, get someone who can hit the ball in that week after week. And instead, and I think I said this on Friday, it feels like they get to January or they get to the summer and Arsenal fans get excited maybe about one name, and then all of a sudden Arsenal, like too late in the transfer window, go, oh, actually, just checking, could we sign him, please? And that's what they're policy has been like for the last couple of years when it comes specifically to those forward players compared to, you know, other parts of the pitch where I think they actually have recruited semi well.
Well, they've got a million fullbacks and the squad at the moment. We didn't ask you your prediction for tonight, did we?
No. 2-1 to Ireland.
She just needs to win these games, right, at this stage. And like, how long do you think it's before we can say, okay, that's the style of play, we know what you're trying to do?
I would hope by the end of the B campaign that you would have some sort of idea of formation, of team, of who her set 11, 12, 13 players are that she wants to play. And then Ligue 1 will probably be where we really see what she's made of, because that's going to matter massively to qualifying for the World Cup.
Yeah. Okay. I'm impressed by David Raya at the weekend at the last minute of the game. Did you see? Storming into goals? No?
Mm-mm.
So he went up for a corner and West Ham were about to streak down the pitch. He makes it back to the halfway line, does a sliding tackle, stands up, has a kind of side heel, back heel.
Oh, class.
Yeah, it was sensational.
Wayne Rooney, DC United. That's unreal.
Yeah. If Rooney had been the goalkeeper.
Yeah, better again. Like, same idea though. He channeled the spirit of latter years as Wayne Rooney.
He did.
Like we all do.
He was very fast. Right.
He's so patronised that he was very fast.
He was very fast.
He did really well.
You don't expect your goalkeeper to be able to outpace outfield players.
Who knows how fast goalkeepers are, yeah. We never get to see it.
There's your hit YouTube show. How fast are goalkeepers?